Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
There was chaos and confusion at airports today as President Trump's immigration crackdown took effect.
We're going to have a very, very strict ban, and we're going to have extreme vetting, which we should have had in this country for many years.
You can't detain people in airports across America who are part of our society, who have green cards, are our students, are our scientists.
The issue of immigration continues to grip the country and the headlines in a year when President Trump's campaign promises turned into policy. WBUR's Shannon Dooling covers immigration, and she joins us now to look at what's happened in 2017 and what's ahead. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jack.
So as many will remember, it was a quick and consequential beginning for the president when he signed several executive orders related to immigration policies. Looking back broadly, what's the takeaway from these early actions?
Well, let's start with the president's original travel ban, which barred travel to the U.S. for people from a handful of predominantly Muslim countries. And you'll remember that went into effect immediately. Government agencies weren't really briefed, and the result was chaos, basically. And it's been in the courts ever since then. Also this year, the resettlement of refugees was temporarily halted, and the number of refugees who will be accepted into the U.S. was slashed. But I think the most fundamental shift that was put into place with the stroke of a pen, really, was this transition to new enforcement priorities. And all that really means is a shift in which immigrants federal immigration officials are being told to focus on when it comes to removing people from the country. Past administrations said the focus should be on serious criminal offenders. But with one of Trump's executive orders, all of that changed. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents now had the green light from the top down to pursue deportation proceedings for anyone.
And you've been reporting on the lives that have been affected by these policy changes over the past year, in addition to the legal and political fight over those decisions. What stands out to you?
Well, of course, each of these stories is unique with its own circumstances. But what seems to be the overarching theme is this feeling of overwhelming uncertainty about the future, this fear of the unknown. For instance, since July, we've been covering the arrest of a man named Francisco Rodriguez. He's a native of El Salvador. He entered the country illegally in 2006, but he's been living in Chelsea with federal authorization for several years. That is until this year, when those enforcement priorities I just mentioned really changed. And so he was put into detention. And so this is a man with no criminal record. He's the father of three U.S. citizen children. Here's Rodriguez's 10-year-old daughter, Melanie, talking with us back in October about how life is without her father at home.
It feels more like lonely. It doesn't feel like... It feels like if there's nothing happening in life. It just feels all normal because we do everything that we need to do, but we don't spend time now with my dad, and it's a little bit more sad.
So we just recently learned that Rodriguez has been granted another temporary reprieve from deportation while his appeal continues to play out in the courts.
All right, so what happens in the new year?
Well, we're paying attention, you know, especially closely to a few things. One is the fate of DACA, and that's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. This is the program that allows young people, young adults whose parents brought them to the U.S. illegally to go to school and to work in the U.S. There are thousands of DACA students here in Massachusetts, an estimated 800,000 nationwide. And you probably remember, Jack, that Trump basically punted on the decision of what to do with DACA and said, hey, Congress, you're up. It's time to come up with a legislative solution to this. So we'll see where we get with that. Congress has until March. And the other thing which has the potential to really impact Boston and surrounding communities is the future of temporary protected status, or TPS, for El Salvador. There are an estimated 6,000 Salvadorans in Massachusetts with this protection that allows people to stay in the U.S. and work temporarily if their country has been hit by a natural disaster or a health epidemic. And one memory in particular that sticks out for me over the reporting this past year, I was in the kitchen kitchen with a mother and daughter, and they were talking about what could be on the horizon for their family and really talking about it all for the first time. They had told us that they just always avoided these conversations about their future, but that they can't do that any longer because each member of their family, it turns out, has sort of different legal statuses. The daughter, 22-year-old Gabriela Portillo Perez, married a U.S. citizen and should be eligible for status through her marriage. But if the U.S. government lets TPS expire for El Salvador, Portillo Perez worries the rest of her family will be sent back to El Salvador.
They're the only family I have here. And it's funny because people don't realize, you know, they think of, oh, these people break the law or whatever it is, but they don't realize, like, we're all human beings and we're all a family and, whatever, you know, you always need your mom.
You can definitely hear in that voice some of that sort of fear of the unknown and the uncertainty we were talking about earlier. We expect to hear more about the administration's decision on the fate of TPS for El Salvador in early January.
So what about the political ramifications for local elected officials? You know, how has this topic of immigration played out in the political realm?
Well, for the most part, our congressional delegation here in Massachusetts has been pretty vocal in its opposition to most, if not all, of Trump's immigration policies. Now, what could prove to be especially interesting, I think, is whether or how the issue of immigration factors into our gubernatorial race in 2018. Of course, we have Republican Governor Charlie Baker, who did issue a few pretty strong declarations of support for things like extending TPS and DACA. But he also submitted legislation, and that legislation would give some state law enforcement the authority to cooperate with federal immigration officials in some cases. And so, of course, pro-immigrants' rights advocates really sort of had a fit over that. So we'll see how things play out once the campaign gears up.
All right. WBUR Shannon Dooling, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to what promises to be another busy year in the world of immigration.
Thank you, Jack.